I really promise this time, we're going to finish up Break the Curse. I had intended a couple weeks ago, and then the Lord gave me something that tied in with Mother's Day, and then ironically, the scripture that I'm going to share today is one that I really meant to start the whole series with, but I, you know, the Lord led me in different ways on it, so I never was able to integrate it, so I want to share that today. But I was thinking, you know, don't you hate it in your life? I don't know how many people eat eggs. I eat eggs every now and then. I eat a lot of oatmeal for breakfast too, but eggs I enjoy. But one thing I hate when I make an egg is when it sticks to my pan. Now, we use a lot of different pans, and we even tried those, I don't want to mention names, the red ones they sell on TV, you know. And you can have that egg. What really makes me mad is I can take that pan and I can swish it back and forth like they do on TV, and my egg just slides around there, just moving all over the place. Well, then when I flip the egg, it sticks. Oh, that makes me, I like my eggs over medium. And so when they stick, they usually break. Now I got a hard egg. I'm not opposed to hard eggs, but I don't like it when stuff sticks when it's not supposed to. And see, that's the way it is in our walk with God, that we go through life and we hear the good news. Amen? What Jesus Christ said is possible, but every now and then it seems like sometimes stuff can stick to us, stuff that's not supposed to. And I want to share a little bit more today about how we can be free of when that bad stuff in life tries to stick to us. Now, we went through this whole series talking about curses, and we went through generational curses. We went through how sometimes we open the door, and just because we leave a door open doesn't mean the devil comes in every time or we get robbed, you know, in life. But there is opportunities. And we're going to look at that from a little different way today. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're going through a lot of attacks, you kind of feel like a lint trap, you know what I mean, when it comes to the attacks of the devil. Just seems like stuff sticks to you. You know, don't you hate going bowling at them black light bowling deals? And when they hit the black light, you're the only one. You know what I mean? You're the only one with lint all over you. You know, and you just know everybody's looking at you. You know, and sometimes when we go through attacks from the devil, he plays with our mind and he tricks us and tries to get us think that you're the only one that has a problem. You're the only one that's going through this difficulty because you're not very spiritual. And see, that's what the enemy tries to do. The scripture I want to look at today is found in Proverbs 26, verse 2. And it says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause does not alight. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the power of your Spirit to be able to work in our midst right now. Lord, I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. Lord, we thank you so much for the anointing here today to be able to set us free, to break any bondages or curses that the enemy tries to bring against us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, the first point I want to look at is the concept of being Teflon-coated. Now, after all my experiences, like I mentioned, with the red-colored ones, I'll be honest, I've went back to Teflon. I mean, Teflon usually doesn't fail me. And Teflon stuff kind of just rolls off how it's supposed to. Now, when you see this picture of a sparrow is always flitting around looking for a place to land, if you really watch birds, I mean, I lived on a farm as a kid, and, you know, I witnessed a lot of birds in my life. And sparrows usually don't spend a lot of time just flying, what I've witnessed. Sparrows usually go from one destination to another. They're always looking for their next spot to land. And see, that's how the devil works in our life. Now, I'll be honest, my favorite bird as far as on the farm and around here is a barn swallow. I love watching barn swallows. You know, I remember being out in the hay field and they was always flying around me when I was, you know, mowing hay, and they'd eat bugs. And even out here at the church when we're mowing, they'll fly around and get real close and, you know, just really pretty to watch. They can stay in the air for, it seems like, forever. But a sparrow, And that's why I think God used it this way. Because it said a swallow and it's flying, but a sparrow and it's flitting around. You know, I don't know what it means to flit, but anyway. They're looking for a spot to land, and that's really what a curse is trying to do. That's the only thing that a curse wants to do. It's looking for a place that it can land in somebody's life. Now, the good news is, and there's always good news, right, is that causeless curses can't land. If there's no cause in your life for that curse to land, it can't land on you. And really, legally, like we've went into several times through this study, is that, you know, we are people of the covenant. You're in the blood covenant through Jesus Christ. And through that covenant relationship, that we inherit everything that he has. And, you know, he did what he did to set us free from the curse. Now, what happens is that, you know, if we walk in that, it's kind of like in the book of Exodus, which is a great story. If you're people of the covenant, for the Egyptians, not so well, is that they would kill a lamb and they would mark their doorpost. And if your doorpost was marked, the death angel had to pass over you, hence the name Passover. Right? So, if we're walking in our covenant realities, if we're understanding our covenant that we have with God and exercising faith, well then, we have the knowledge and everything that we need to have to be able to stop them curses from coming in our life. Now, what happens sometimes is that we break focus, and that's the bad news. You know, we, I believe, can create a landing pad for that sparrow, right? We can create a landing pad. Remember, that sparrow is looking for somebody to get, somebody to land on. Just the way the devil, he's always looking for somebody he can attack. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. He's only looking for the easy ones, and that's what predators are like. I watch them shows, right? I mean, as a rule, you know, the lion, he doesn't take on the big bull elk. He waits and he tries to get the little baby, right? It's an easy meal. So Satan's looking for easy meals. Don't be that meal, amen? Don't be that easy meal. And you can choose so. And what happens is, what causes us sometimes to become the meal is that when we get small-minded, we become small-minded in life. And that happens when we just think about ourselves and not the big picture. And that's what gets us on off track. I can go through my mind now knowing people that I know that are going through an attack right now, and they're going about it all wrong. All wrong. What they're doing is they instead of keeping their focus on Jesus, now they've turned that focus inward on them. And all they see is what I got going wrong. What's going on in my life? It's kind of like when you're driving down the road in a car, and have you ever noticed when you look farther ahead, you can keep her on the road pretty good? But if you change your focus on the future and you start looking at the present, just like where your car is right now, you kind of always have to jerk it back and forth because you can't. Your equilibrium and your bearings are totally off. And see, that's what happens for Christians when we take our focus off Jesus and we take our focus off the things that we should be looking at. And we just look at ourselves and my little problem, my little situation. And we grab a hold of that and we think that that's all there is and that's all there's going to be. And see, that's a lie from the devil. That's why we need to stay Teflon coated. We need to be like water on a duck's back so that it just rolls off us. And we want to be able to focus on the future of what God has for us. So what we do then is the next point is that we need to walk it. Now, the Lord kind of gave this to me. I don't know if he's ever done this before. It's kind of weird. But anyway, I want to look today at the three amigos. The three amigos. They're our friends. And if we look at the three amigos and we focus on the three amigos, then we can be able to walk Teflon coated. The three amigos I want to see today is faith, hope, and love. The Bible talks about that. And the Bible even says all the gifts are going to be done away with, but these won't be. These gifts, faith, hope, and love, are going to be with us throughout eternity. So I think it's good for us to get to know these gifts, right? If we're going to be walking in them and living in them, then we might as well grab a hold of them now so that we can be able to walk and to be able to be free of the things of the enemy. Now, the devil, as you know, if you throw something out, when my kids were little, we used to have this goofy little thing. You put this little Velcro helmet on. You know, it was a soft helmet, like of cloth, and had Velcro all around it, and they would put this little helmet on. Then you would have these little balls that would stick to the Velcro, and the game was you kind of throw them and try to hit them in the head. It's really a lot funner than it sounds, you know. And, you know, you'd try to get the Velcro to stick. But see, if we're, you know, one of my kids was very good at getting those things to stick, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know. But, you know, in life, you don't want stuff to stick to you that the enemy throws. When he throws them, you know, those flaming darts, those fiery missiles the Bible talks about. You don't want them to stick to you. You want them to be repelled. Now, how we do that, number one, is faith. Now, faith is important. Faith is not a feeling. This is where we make a mistake. We think, I don't feel it. You know, how many live their life by their feelings? Come on, be honest. We all do sometimes, don't we? Just not feeling it today. You know, maybe you've decided to work out. You wake up and, just don't feel like working out. Just don't feel like doing this. You know, you don't feel like going to work. You know, stuff like that. And you do that, and if you live your life by feelings, you know, it's going to be a tough life. Because the devil will make sure that you don't feel like doing the things we should do. Now, most parents don't let their kids live by their feelings. I don't feel like going to school this year. What? Get to school. I don't want you to grow up and be stupid like your father. No, just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. You know, no, we don't let them. We make them go anyway. And so we have to be the same way. So faith isn't a feeling, but it's a whole soul commitment to God. And that's what we have to have. I'm in or I'm out. All or nothing. If you're in, you're in. Go all the way. Don't hold back. You know, faith isn't really blind. You know, a lot of people think faith is blind. Faith isn't blind. Faith is based on the Word of God. Based on the Word. And so that just shows us that we need to get to know what the Bible says. What does the Word say? What's the Bible say about this situation? Well, how does the Bible say I need to respond to these attacks? Well, the Bible says I'm blood-bought, blood-washed, child of God. So why do I feel like the devil today? Well, you don't go by that feeling. You go by what the Word says. The Bible says you're a child of God. The Bible says you have a relationship with God for all eternity. The Bible says He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So when you think God's not paying attention, just pull out that scripture. Well, Satan, you're a liar. The Bible says that. The Bible even tells it like it is, man. It just says, Satan, you're a murderer and you're a liar. So why do we listen to him? We need to listen to our Father, our Heavenly Father that loves us. Well, the next thing after faith is hope. Now, hope, you know, a lot of people give hope a bad rap. Because, oh man, you got to be faith, man. You can't be a hope person. You got to be a faith person. Well, Bible hope is good. You know, like, if somebody asks you, are you saved? Well, I hope so. Hello? Are you a Christian or not? Now, I'll be honest. I remember what it was like not knowing. I remember early in my walk with God where I had those little doubts in my life. All I know is what fixes, get in the Word. See what the Word says. See, the Bible says in, I think, 1 John 5, that He gave us the Scriptures so that we may know that we have eternal life, right? So if you get in the Word and find out what God says about you and start trusting Him more than you trust your feelings, well, then you're going to be okay. Well, hope is a confident expectation. That's what Bible hope is. It's a confident expectation, and it's based on the unfailing promises of God. So when you're going through the Word and you start to see something that pertains to you and your situation, well, then you grab a hold of that and you get your expector turned on. Now, the sad thing is, there's a lot of Christians these days are afraid to hope. Maybe things haven't worked out the way you wanted. How many's had that? Come on. We all have, right? We've maybe hoped that something turned out a certain way and it didn't. So then after that happens, we're afraid to hope again. See, that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to pull back. Keep your hoper turned on. Keep your expector turned on. We need to live with that confident expectation that there's always something better coming down the road. All something bad may come in the mail. Return the sender, amen? Send it back to the devil where it came from. You know, don't accept it. You know, especially if it's COD. Huh? Why would you want to pay for something you don't really want? So we need to keep our expector turned on. Now the last one's love. Everybody loves love, right? How important love is. Now this kind of love is talking about agape love. That's the God kind of love. It's the kind of love that says, I'll love you even if you don't love me. Not a lot of that going around these days, are they? You know, we want to be loved back. I mean, I think it's only natural that we all want to be loved back. But this is the kind of love that God wants us believers to walk in. And if we walk in this love, Bible says love never fails. So to me, as we all know, this kind of love is a choice and it's not a feeling. So we don't go by that feeling again. We choose to love. Husbands, if you told your wife you're going to love them, you better do it. Amen. Wives, if you said you're going to love your husband, love him. Just settle that. I'm loving him. You know, don't let the D word come in if you can help it. Amen. Now, there is times in Scripture when it talks about it being okay. But for the most part, and if you've went through that now, just decide, hey, now I got new revelation. Amen. Now I got new information that I'm going to walk in. And I'm going to fight and I'm going to protect my marriage. I'm going to keep the devil kicked out of my marriage because he tries to get in there. So those are the things that we need to do as faith, hope, and love. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, who I respect, is a very smart guy in our slang. He said in the Scripture there that if we don't have love, we have nothing. We have nothing. So if you want to have something, you got to have love. Amen? All right, now, that was the three amigos. Now, it's only fair that we look at the three banditos, right? The three banditos. And these three things will rob the Teflon coating. It will make it so stuff will stick to us if we have these operating in our life. Now, I picked three. There's many, right? But I picked three that I felt the Lord dropped on my heart. I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable today, but the three are selfishness, sexual sin, and unforgiveness. These three are, ooh, it got real quiet. You're not smiling no more. Somebody say, you need to start writing this down. Talk to somebody right next to you and tell them, you need to start writing this one down. Now, don't do that. Okay, selfishness, sexual sin, and unforgiveness. As I mentioned, there's others, but what it is, these three, if we're operating in them, it's going to create a landing pad for the devil. This is like a nice runway for the devil to land in our life if we do this. It talks about sinning willfully. Everybody makes mistakes. I know that. We all stumble. Get up. Blood of Jesus, that's what it's about. But there is an attitude that sometimes we develop in our lives, and the Bible talks about it explicitly in Hebrews 6, and you know, as well as Hebrews 10. It talks about the idea, 10 uses the actual words, sinning willfully, but it talks about when we get that attitude, how we can get in some sort of trouble. So the first we're going to look at is selfishness. Now, what I think about when I think about selfishness is the man in Scripture who chose to build a bigger barn. Remember that? God just blessed him so much. He had such a harvest that he had so much of a harvest that his barn couldn't hold it. So what he did, instead of sharing and giving, you know, back into the community or into the kingdom or whatever the case may be, he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me a bigger barn. And when I build that bigger barn, I'm just going to kick back. And I'm not going to have another care in this world. And he died. All that thing he worked for, taken away. See, selfishness is really a tough thing. And we all stumble in this from time to time. I've always used this illustration. I haven't found nothing better, so I'm going to keep using it. You know, I thought I was spiritual till I got married. Then I found out I was selfish. Just when I thought I was spiritual again, we had kids. then I found out I was selfish again. We all struggle with it, but it's something that we can overcome. You know, one way of killing selfishness is giving. No, we're not going to take up another offering, although, hey, I'm all in if you're in. But, you know, selfishness robs us from the good things God has for us. You know, what happens when we get selfish is that we stop trusting God and we start trusting in ourselves. And when we do that, we create a landing pad for the devil. The next one I want to look at is sexual sins. Now, sexual sins, we know what those are. But God brought a severe judgment on Canaan, didn't he? The Canaan land, where the children of Israel wandered in the desert, said, hey, I got this land for you. I want you to go in. Well, God had left these sinners in this land to tend it, to take care of it until the children of Israel could come in and take possession. You know, and that's how he did it. Because if not, the animals and everything would overrun it. So God wanted it tended to until it was time to bring his people back. Well, when he brought them back in, you know, first they couldn't handle it. And anyway, make a long story short, you know, the problems in that land, God wanted his people, it sounds kind of cold to some of us, but he wanted them to eradicate all the inhabitants of the land. Because what it is that they were involved in a lot of false religions, and a lot of their religions revolved around sexual issues. Now, there was another one that was really bad, and that was Moloch. And Moloch was where you took your baby and you sacrificed it and threw it in fire. Now, that one's bad. But I'm not going to talk about that one today because it doesn't tie into my message. Amen? I'm going to talk about the other ones. Now, these other ones, they would have prostitution was legalized through a lot of these other religions, or shall we say, that were in that land. And God wanted them out because he didn't want those things to come in to the nation of Israel. And so with these religions, they had these prostitution tied in there. And what I see, it ties in largely to what is attacking our nation today. Because Satan is trying to attack our sexuality. One of the ways that he does it is through pornography. Last week we picked on the women a little bit, not bad. It was Mother's Day. I took it easy. Today I'm going to talk about man problems. Men have problems, right? Now women can also have problems with pornography, so if you do, factor this in. I just read an article in Bible Study Magazine. And it talks about a survey that they took a while back. I don't know how they come up with these numbers, but it's staggering. It says that 68% of Christian men view pornography on a regular basis. Everybody say, ouch. That's a little high, but I don't know what they consider pornography. You know, sometimes you can't help the stuff that flies across the TV screen. If that was, you know, one of the questions, I don't know. But anyway, that's how they looked at it. 50% of these men are pastors. 50% of pastors, I mean, view pornography on a regular basis. It is an epidemic in our country. I mean, it's staggering if you really knew some of the information that I get about how true this is. It's a problem. Now, some of you here may be of the tribe that believes it doesn't hurt to look. Have you ever heard that one? You know, men will say, well, it don't hurt to look. You know, at a pretty girl or something like that. Of course, a lot of the men usually say that when their wives ain't around, is what I've gathered. But there, I'm going to show you a little bit about how pornography, it's a staggering article. I can photocopy it. It's just one page if some of you would like it. Like I said, it came from Bible Study Magazine. I consider it a very reputable magazine, and it quoted from somewhere else. What happens is that pornography, how it works, it hijacks our brains. It changes how our brains work. And it gave some illustrations. Now, the illustration it used is that there's a bonding agent, and I can pronounce it, but I'm not going to try it. I think I have it right, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say there's a bonding agent that happens when a mother nurses her baby. That skin-to-skin contact and the bond that happens between a mother and its baby, that bond that's connected. For those of you in the Twilight series, what's that called when they...
Imprint.
Thank you, Scott. You know, I suppose it's something like that. For those of you, maybe that would connect a little better. But, you know, that same bonding agent also happens when people have sex with each other. That skin-to-skin contact. There's, you know, neurotransmitters that are activated, and it causes that sort of thing to kind of happen, and it's that emotional bond. And that's why God warns us about these things. It's not that he doesn't want us to have fun or enjoy things. It's that he wants to save us and to be able to protect us from things that can happen in our life. Now, what was amazing to me, those two things I sort of knew, but it says when pornography is viewed, neurotransmitters are released, which causes you to bond to those images. And that's what happens. Now, a lot of men, some men can get addicted to pornography. And what it also said is once you view it, I use it in farm terms, the cows always walk the same path. Have you ever noticed that in a farm? You see a trail and beautiful grass on each side, but you got a little dirt path just like this going through the field. And the cows will walk that same path from the water back out to the field. And they'll make that path. And that's what pornography does to our minds. It creates a path, a faster path, into our minds to activate those neurotransmitters. And that's the power that it has because of the attraction. And I believe also, they didn't go into it, but to me, the demonic spirit aspect of it, how that gets in people's minds, that it causes them to do that. And that's why I believe we need to rewire our brains. We need to get our brains turned around and to break that path off, that quick path, that quick connect. So sexual sins. So we've already looked at the idea of sexual sins and selfishness. Lastly, I want to look at something called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Now this is another landing pad that we can create, you know, for the curse or the devil to land in our life. You know, we won't go into the scripture that says, unless you forgive, you won't be forgiven. Oh, I just said that, didn't I? I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's in the Bible several times. The story I want to talk about is found in Matthew 18, verse 23 to 25. We're not going to pull that up. It's a fairly long passage. But it gives the explanation of a slave who is indebted to his master. I really don't know how this happened, but it was like 15 years' wages. Think about what you can make in 15 years, and that's how much in debt you are to a guy. Well, the master had mercy. He had mercy on this guy. He says, I'll wipe your debt clean. I don't know about you, but I do the hallelujah hop. I'd get all excited. I'd be running around saying, woohoo! Fresh start. Well, then that same slave who had just been forgiven 15 years' wages went and found another slave who owed him money. Now, this slave owed him 100 days' wages, one-third of a year, less than one-third of a year. And that slave who'd been forgiven, he would not forgive this other slave. He said he wanted his payment. I want everything you owe me. Well, the master heard about it, and this is what happened. In verse 32 to 35, it says, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. Everybody said, well, Pastor, that's good preaching. That's good preaching, Pastor. You know, it's owie. It's one of those things that hurts, isn't it? I know some of you are thinking about people that wronged you right now and how hard it is for you to let go of that. But it's a landing pad for the devil. And you need to tear it up. You need to tear up that landing pad and just let God have it. Unforgiveness doesn't help anybody but the devil. So what I see from this passage, you know, everybody knows, there's no way, I mean, and this is how they do it in England. I mean, if you're in debt, they might throw you in debtor's prison. I never did understand that reading them old classics. And then you had to pay back. Well, how can you pay back? You're in jail. I mean, I never did understand that concept. But anyway, that's another point in itself. But here, he was handed over to the torturers, and he was going to be tortured until the day he could pay everything back, which, eternity. There's no way he can pay that 15 years money back. No way at all. Doesn't have a chance. Now, what I've always witnessed or saw when I looked at the scripture is, to me, how that ties into us today is that the torturers are demonic spirits, is what I see from it. And that when we have unforgiveness in our heart, that, you know, we walk in this unforgiveness, and it just opens the door wide open for the devil to come in and mess with our mind and mess with our heart, and it just holds us in so much bondage so that we can't be free. And God has something better for us. He doesn't want us to be tortured in this life. Yes, I know this life is short. 70, 80 years, shorter, maybe longer. Don't know. I know compared to eternity, this life is short. But I would like to see us all walking in freedom. Freedom. The freedom that Jesus Christ came to give. You know, I know we could all sing that Somebody Done Me Wrong song, you know what I'm saying? We all can probably sing a few bars. I'll spare you. But I just want to encourage you to let go and let God. If there's something holding you back, maybe you never got along with your mama or papa. Maybe you had a sibling that just ripped you off. Maybe somebody done something to you or your family. But I'll tell you, unforgiveness is a luxury that none of us can afford, because it's a landing pad for the devil. It's a landing pad. And we need to let those go and let God have them. So how do we do all these things? I'm glad you asked. The last point is to become victory conscious, and that's what I really feel is the key to a successful Christian life. Some people get it, some don't, but it's all up here. It's how we look at things, how we see the world around us. We need to be victory conscious. I want to encourage you, do not settle on your past, but expect a better future. I know it's been rough, but expect something better. Believe the better's coming. It may take a while, it doesn't matter, but expect better. What's the worst could happen? Right? Expect better. Refuse to be a victim and be a victor. Don't accept your destiny of being somebody that's always a victim, always under attack, always things going wrong, always stuff sticking to you. Walk in faith, hope, and love. And start to beat back that devil. Remember, the never-ending grace of God. Now, I have a couple Teflon pans. One of them's my little one that I make my eggs. One's bigger. That's when I want to make my taters. My tater pans sticks. I really need to throw it away. But I'm the type of guy that if you've been good to me, I'm going to be good to you. So I'm keeping that pan around. I just got to add more oil. Amen? So if you got something sticking in your life, add more oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Let the oil of the Holy Spirit come into your life And that'll make you so you're not sticky no more. You'll be slimy. Amen. I'd rather be slimy than sticky, because if you're slimy, nothing's going to stick. It's like a grease pig. You just can't grab a hold of it. And that's how we need to be when it comes to the things of the devil attacking us. So let faith, hope, and love frame your thinking. You know, God has given us everything that we need to be free of the curses that Satan wants to put on us. But remember, greater is he that's in us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Let's pray.